Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 36, and I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I want to talk about setbacks. So tonight, it's just going to be me talking. We will do a post show, so hang on for that. And I just wanted to do this to get all these things that go through my head sometimes that I think about because people fear setbacks. And I think it's time that we discuss it. And this is just my opinion. That's all it is, what I've seen over 25 years. So these are the things I've seen that have caused the setbacks. So it's stress, alcohol, caffeine, antibiotics, steroids, birth control pills, supplements, surgery, antihistamines, artificial sweeteners, and not really a setback, but undiagnosed thyroid issues and undiagnosed Lyme and co-infections and vitamin and mineral deficiencies. So I've had a few setbacks, but I don't really call them setbacks. My first one was about 6 years ago. My teeth had really moved as a result of being on and coming off of Ativan. And finally, I was going to get them straightened out, and I was doing clear braces, but never thought about the wire the orthodontist was going to put in my mouth. So almost immediately, I started to feel anxious and depressed, and it wasn't a normal anxious and depressed either. I was having a hard time eating, not because my teeth hurt, but because something didn't feel right. I was feeling that horrible, anxious, depressed feeling, and I was pushing to function for the next 10 days. And then I finally wrote to a dentist who's a former benzo person and a chiropractor who does functional medicine and is also a former benzo person. They both asked what was the metal in my mouth. Then finally, I called the orthodontist and wanted them off. She had put nickel wires in my mouth, and I'm allergic to nickel. I was in touch with another benzo person who also did braces, and I had heard she wasn't feeling well. I contacted her, and I told her what happened to me with the nickel wires, so she called her orthodontist, and sure enough, she had her braces taken off, and then she finished with Invisalign. So it took her about 9 months, I think, to get over the effects of it, and for me, once the braces were off, literally, I felt 50% better. And then I worked with the functional medicine doctor again to help me to just kind of clear my body. It took, I don't want to say a full year because I was functioning. Nobody would know. I just didn't feel right. But by a year later, I was fully back. So let's talk about antibiotics. We sometimes, you know, need antibiotics. And I try to do everything as natural as possible and have had amoxicillin before with no problem. I even had the Z-Pak once before with no problem. But the second time I took it, by day three, I thought the crazy train was coming for me again. I was in tears. I was anxious. I was fearful. Everything was back. I started taking a probiotic, but it wasn't helping. And then one night when I was up, not sleeping and in tears, I was searching online and found where somebody was saying the only probiotic that would help was Saccharomyces boulardii, which is Florastor. And I actually had some in the house. So I came downstairs at 1:30. I took one. I took another one when I got up and took another one that night. And I was fully back mentally. I couldn't even believe the difference. So we just have to be careful and do a little research. There are others that have had setbacks from antibiotics. So just do your research first. There's somebody currently in the groups right now who took one Suprax and is still in a setback. And with some windows and waves, you can see her on her YouTube channel called Positive Benzo Withdrawal. And another one took Flagyl and is still in a setback 1 year later. Steroids are another class of medication to be aware of that have caused setbacks. Even if you never took a benzo, this class of medication can be helpful but can also cause harm. Birth control pills. Now, there are some in the groups you know, from being on birth, they're in the groups because they were put on birth control. And somebody who was once then recovered, she went on them. And then all of a sudden, she's in a setback. So you want to weigh the pros and cons. Just be careful. So that's just a warning. Now, antihistamines, you know, many can do fine with these. But I had a problem for a week. I took one Benadryl, and somebody else who was fully recovered had had an antihistamine patch on and was sick again. And when I told him, just take the patch off, he'd be fine. Because all of his symptoms were back, he didn't want to wait, and he went back on meds and said he'd come off later. So do some people use antihistamines to help them in benzo withdrawal? Sure. But again, it can cause problems. We've seen others that took it and they got sick. So alcohol. I don't drink, so it's easy for me to say, but for some, after all they've been through, they will never touch alcohol again. But for others, they do and can enjoy a drink. But Dr. Reg Peart always said not to have alcohol for 3 years. Now, can some do it before that? Sure. But that's a decision only you can make. I know someone that wanted to have a couple of beers for his 26th birthday, and he was feeling pretty much healed. He had 2 organic beers, and he got sick again. So again, just a warning, it's a decision only you can make. Now, for thyroid or Lyme, get checked if you think you have a problem. Some found out later that these were their underlying issues. I also want to mention someone in the group years ago who was so ill, he went to the ER. And thankfully, he had blood work done while there. And just as a doctor wanted to turn him over to the psych ward, it was discovered that he was in severe B12 deficiency. He had to have it intravenously for a while and then by injection to get his levels back up. It's important to get your vitamin and mineral levels checked. Many had severe D deficiency, and vitamin D controls a lot in your body and will affect your sleep. So I know most of us are afraid of doctors, but do try to get your levels checked. I think this is important. And I've seen in the groups where some can't take a certain brand of a D, it's always best to get probably more professional brands, and then they have liquid. I like a liquid one. Now, surgery, the only reason I mentioned surgery, plenty have gone in, had surgery, they did fine, they made sure they took the time to talk to the doctors to make sure that none of the medications they were giving would affect the GABA receptors, but have some gone in quickly, they didn't pay attention, and they got sick. Again, just, you know, maybe a month or two, a little bit of a setback. Be aware of what you're being given. So supplements. Some people can take supplements and it really helps while others cannot. If you do take one, always take a professional brand or always start at the lowest possible dose. Some got very sick trying a supplement that somebody else could take. It's a personal choice. I know one person who got better strictly eating out of the Nourishing Traditions, a book by Sally Fallon. And when somebody else had a setback, I suggested that she eat out of that book, and it did help. So you can do it with food. You can do it, but you can even be healing your gut all with food. You can be helping your liver all with food. It doesn't have to be with supplements. Some can take them, some can't. So artificial sweeteners. These can cause a lot of issues. Watch everything you eat and drink. Someone who would say he was 110% better called and was sick again. I asked him, what are you doing? What's different? And he said, the only thing he could think of, he was drinking Propel water. Well, I didn't know much about Propel water. And when he called back, his daughter had looked it up and it had sucralose in it, which is Splenda. So there are natural sweeteners that you can use, like honey, maple syrup, maple sugar, date syrup, date sugar, or you can even use a little less sugar, you know, if you have to. But the artificial sugars seem to cause an issue. So for him, again, all he did was stop drinking the Propel water, flushed himself out, was better in no time. But at least he found out right away. So now let's talk about stress, okay? Because stress is the big one that everybody fears. Am I going to get sick again? I'm under so much stress. Well, a lot of us have had a lot of stress in our lives over the years. So for me, when my husband got sick, I tried to balance my stress, but there are signs and symptoms, you know, and what I felt and what I did, you know, is what I did for me. But this past April, I thought, okay, this time when my husband's PET scan was coming, you know, I felt like this was it. Something was different. He was talking about different things that he felt. And I thought, okay, the Merkel has spread. And we know that that's the aggressive cancer. You know, I thought, okay, I let my mind get away from me, which I try not to. I have tried to deal with this the last 3 years as best I could. But at the same time, we had to go to Florida to start taking care of my mother. And with COVID and everything, it had been a while since I had seen my mother. All this is happening at the same time. My sister, who is a nurse, she got an osteoporosis shot, and they did one in each arm after. I don't think it had anything to do with it. After she had her COVID vaccine, and she had such a severe reaction to that osteoporosis shot, she literally was in pain for 14 days. She couldn't eat. She was in so much pain. You even called her, and the sound in her voice, you felt so bad for her. And now My mother all of a sudden gets sick just as probably the first day my sister could move around. So I've got to get to Florida. And I know I'm going down there to my sister who's not feeling well and my mother who now needs constant care. You know, she was 92 at the time. She's 93 now. And for those that don't know, my mother, my mother has polio. She only has the use of one arm. And, you know, she's had colon cancer. So she has health issues and we have to help her full time with everything. So that's what we go down there. And I can always feel it in my shoulders when I'm stressed. I don't sleep. I get tired. So my signs are my breathing goes off. And then I had, before we left, I had 5 nights I'm not sleeping. And then, you know, you always hear about other benzo people suffering. That adds to it because we have such empathy for others that are going through this. And, you know, that all goes on your shoulders and it's hard to shut it all off. And I try to protect myself. But anyway, so the first thing I do is I pull out my little arsenal of natural products and I start to take them. And it helped. And Joe's PET scan came back and it was okay. And that took a lot of stress off of me. So I started to calm down and we went and I felt strong when I was there. And probably flying always gets me a wreck. I'm just not good at traveling. I'm a real homebody. So in the past, for each person who had a major setback from stress, I've always asked them, could they feel it coming on? And each one said yes, but they kept pushing themselves. So, you know, you can't walk and go running around on a broken leg. You know, you have to be careful with your nervous system. We kind of broke our nervous system. So you have to be careful. So unless it's a reaction to a medication, alcohol, steroid, you know, you've had too much caffeine. You know, if you feel stress coming on, deal with it. Don't let it get to you. Go for a walk. Go get some form of exercise. Most of us have different things that we find that are calming, whether it be herbal teas, herbal tinctures, homeopathy, or a specific supplement. I'm not a coffee or a tea drinker, but if you are consuming too much caffeine, please be careful. This can cause issues. There is a book called Caffeine Blues by Stephen Cherninsky. That's Cherniske. And he mentioned switching slowly over to either herbal teas or a coffee alternative that can actually help with more natural energy. It's called Tassino. I've never had it, you know, because I don't drink coffee. But if you drink a lot of coffee, you might want to look into this. A cup or two of coffee is fine. But look at all the products you are consuming with caffeine in it. Because recently, you know, another benzo friend, I didn't realize she was consuming a lot of caffeine and she's had a little bit of a setback. So please watch that. And if you don't take supplements, I have a yoga DVD here that I use also when I'm under a lot of stress. And I have to say, I don't really like yoga, but it has worked every time for me. The other things that I've done is I stop and I lay down on my bed and I really practice deep breathing. I usually put on a self-guided relaxation tape and I listen to it and do the deep breathing. Another person told me about two apps. One is called Calm, C-A-L-M, the Calm app. And the other one is called Curable, C-U-R-A-B-L-E. Now he's tried a lot of different things, and he feels Curable is the best. He has even done the DNRS program, which stands for the Dynamic Neural Retraining System, which I've seen some in the groups have done that. And he's even gone to a week-long program to work with them. And he feels Curable is even better. Even though it's for pain, you can just substitute the word pain for whatever your symptom is. And he's been working, you know, on different symptoms. So I wrote to the owner of the company and he gave me a link for anyone wishing to try a 6-week free trial. You do have to put your credit card information in, but it's just you can set a reminder to cancel it before the 6 weeks is up. And he also told me you can go in, do the free and then cancel it right away and you're still going to get the 6 weeks free. So I'm going to put, we'll put a link to that on the description of the show, but it's http://curable.com and then my name, Geraldine Burns. So we'll put the link in. Now, some have used EFT, which is the emotional freedom technique. One person got rid of all of her symptoms, learning and studying EFT online, and did this to alleviate every single one of her symptoms. She just worked on them very slowly. Another person did a lot of online hypnosis to help with his symptoms. You can learn about pressure point therapy and just about any other symptom that you have. You can go on YouTube and learn different things. So, you know, we don't have to take anything or spend a fortune to get better. We can do gentle things to help assist our bodies. And of course, with most of us, as we feel better and we're out enjoying all kinds of food, but when we're under stress or in a setback, a healthier lifestyle is absolutely, I think, better. You know, even myself, the minute I start to feel run down, I start to eat much better. So my best advice is don't fear setbacks. It may never happen. If we have learned anything going through benzo withdrawal, is that we are pretty strong people to make it to the other side. Protect your health at all cost. For anyone who just finished tapering and you're just at the point of feeling like yourself again, my advice to you is if you have been disabled and not able to work during your taper, please take at least 6 months before you run back into life. Too many, as soon as they started to feel better, started working again, doing activities with kids, going out with friends, etc. I understand this completely because I did it myself. You know, as soon as I feel better, I'd want to start doing stuff again. But any time while I was suffering and I had a day that I felt a little better, you know, I mean, when I would overdo. And I think most of us do that. So take at least 6 months to continue on that path to healing and enjoy life, but don't overdo. So everyone's biggest question is, well, what if I ever need surgery? Well, some have had cancer, some have had to have a procedure done, a few had to have operations, and all did fine. They all, you know, had talks with their doctors and made sure that they were not going to be given a benzodiazepine or anything that would affect the GABA receptors. One of the guys who I thought was one of the sickest in withdrawal and might not make it got better and actually donated a kidney to his son. He didn't want to come off as a nut with his doctor and just joked about the fact that he couldn't take a benzo and didn't really give an explanation. He just, you know, did it and came through the surgery absolutely fine. And I'm hoping to get him on the podcast at some point. A few of us genetically have poor liver function. So when we have had procedures done, I had propofol and I did fine. I had an endoscopy and a colonoscopy and did do the propofol. I made sure. And I was fine. I could function. But I will say I was a little foggy headed for about 2 weeks. And another person I know who is extremely sensitive like me, when she had breast cancer, she also had the propofol and she was foggy headed for 3 weeks. So nothing that you can't live with. It's just for a little bit. So have some in the benzos and some in the benzo groups have gone in for a procedure and done fine? Yes. Have some had it and felt sick for a few months again? Yes. But we're still not sure. One person wasn't sure of everything they were given. I kept saying, well, get your medical records. You know, make sure that it's in there for now on, that no benzodiazepines. And, it, you know, if you don't want to, you know, take that chance ever again. Now, let me see. There are some. Oh, and this is interesting. So there are some who wear medical bracelets on that have benzodiazepines, fluoroquinolones, and steroids on them. So that's a choice. I just want to make sure that my family knows also and to say certain drugs that I don't want. And I always do make sure that it's in my records. So when I fell and I broke my pelvis back a few years ago, the last thing I said to my husband when they put me in the ambulance was, you know, the list of drugs not to give me, because at that point I thought I broke my hip and I was going to need surgery. So as painful as breaking your pelvis is, my choice was to take no medication. Now that was my choice. I was offered, you know, the doctor stood there saying, do you want this, this, this? I'm like, nope. Because I knew, I wasn't sure how I'd clear it. I knew with a broken pelvis, you know, drugs are going to constipate you. And you know what? After all I've been through, I'm like, I understand pain. Pain I could do. And I did everything natural, and even the therapist that came to teach me how to walk again, she couldn't believe how fast I was healing. So I hope that you have found this helpful. For anyone hearing others with setbacks or fearing a setback, please stop thinking about it. If you have had a setback, it will get better. Also, when someone has had a setback, they shouldn't feel ashamed to come back into the support groups for help, because nobody understands more than us that have been through it. And we understand it. So, you know, don't ever be ashamed to open up and come back in. So let's all remember, put ourselves first, protect your health, And if you feel something, deal with it right away. Don't keep pushing yourself, because sometimes that's what a lot of us do. We think, all right, you know, I'm back to life. My nervous system can take it. And maybe it can. But I think our body, somebody once said, do we ever heal? And I said, yes, but I think our bodies let us know when to back off. And probably prior to benzos, we probably didn't listen, but I try to listen. And I have a pretty hectic life. So I hope you found this helpful. And I think we're going to close with that. And I'm sure I'm going to think of some more things afterwards. But, you know, so we're going to I'm going to do a little talk with my son in a minute. And I hope you stay tuned and listen to that, because we have a few things to talk about. Thank you so much. Okay, Garrett. So I just finished my podcast that I wanted to do all by myself. You kept telling me I should do one by myself, when I always say there are things that people have asked questions about. So we've done that. Hopefully I got everything in there that I wanted to do.
Yeah, it was a good one too, solo. It's not easy when you're just talking by yourself into a mic.
Yeah, and we all know I get nervous every single time that I do this.
Even though this is 36 shows, still are nervous when I break out the laptop.
Very, yeah. Yeah, and the big joke is you wish that I could have a drink, but that's never going to happen. It would freak me out.
It would be nice if you could have a glass of wine before these. And
never going to happen.
It's just never going to happen.
Never. No. Never. But I do, as I have a glass of my bottle of water here, I do have 7 Bach flower remedies in here, because I'm under a lot of stress right now, leaving for Florida again.
Tomorrow afternoon,
you'll take us to the airport, and I'm not good at, I mean, I don't mind flying, but I don't love it, and it's always leaving and getting ready, and I know what I'm going down to take care of my mother, and I know what I'm coming home to, because Dad now has prostate cancer. I'm coming home to, he will be going into the hospital right a few days after we get back. So, a lot of stress. So I feel it in my neck and shoulders again. I felt it coming on for days. I, this morning, had an ocular migraine, which I haven't had in over 20 years. So that wasn't fun to have the day before you're leaving.
Yeah. It's strange the way that people feel stress, because, like, I don't ever have, like, something that I can point to like that where I'm, like, I feel it in my shoulders or something like that. But, like, when I was in law school, I don't know if you remember, I started getting, like, crippling headaches in the middle of the day because I was under so much stress. And so, like, that was months of stress building up, and then finally the way that I dealt with it were headaches. And then when I was going through the bar, I had the thing where I fell asleep for, like, 16, 17 hours at a time, and I had to go see the doctor or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we all produce in different ways with stress, and I think it's important that people listen to it. Like, somebody else might, I don't know, like, get a little bit of twitching. Sometimes, again, when I'm under a lot of stress, different things, like, I couldn't eat well today. That's another thing, which I always say there's nothing better for me than the stress diet, because that I can
lose
weight.
That's a pretty common one, though, don't you think? Like, loss of appetite is, first sign that there's something wrong with people.
And yet, last night, we had company here last night. I had a great time, and we're going to put out a little fun little episode, a little bonus episode after this. We did a Conversations in the Kitchen. I said, hey, why don't you come over and record us while we're talking with, we had 3 benzo people there.
Although we did have a little technical difficulty.
We did have,
My laptop finally got filled to the brim, you know, with everything. So it, right in the middle, we lost it, and then we were able to clear some stuff out and finish recording. Yeah.
So I think it'll be fun for people to hear that, you know, just something light and lovely.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks, and there's another one I wanted to do solo that I've wanted to do for the longest time, because there are times when I'm just dealing with people, and it's like you want to say things to the medical profession, like, this person just walked in after taking a drug you gave them, and their brain is burning, and you're giving them more drugs? Like, I think if I could just have a recorder with me all the time, I'd be writing it all down. So I'm trying to take my time working on that one, because that particular episode is going to be strictly geared towards people who have the ability to prescribe. Like, listen to your patients. You know, when are you going to learn?
I think, unfortunately, it's like, you know, the medicine that we receive here in the United States is really only symptom-based, right? For the most part, if you go to the doctor, they're only going to treat you for the symptoms. Like, they'll give you something to get rid of the symptoms that you're experiencing. It's very rarely that you get to the root of what's going on with you.
Right. They're never going to look at, well, oh, are you just on antibiotics and you're feeling sick? Or, okay, I mean, I'm looking at all the different people that have been contacting me lately, and that's another thing. It's very stressful with what I got going on. And, of course, you have such feelings for people when they contact you, and it's a lot on me.
Yeah. I mean, I even had, for work, I had a meeting this morning with a group of people. It's unrelated to benzodiazepines. It was more a pilot program dealing with people that have had COVID and have lingering symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, as of right now, we don't have anything for those people other than when you do show up with these problems to a doctor's office, they'll give you something to treat the symptoms that you're experiencing, but nothing really beyond that.
Mm.
And it's not like, okay, well, only much older people are experiencing it. We live in Boston. The biggest star in Boston sports right now is probably Jason Tatum. Still has lingering symptoms from when he got COVID, yet we don't have a program where in Boston where we have the best hospitals in the world where you can say, well, you can go here and we will try to treat the core of what's going on.
Right.
So it was an interesting meeting this morning that we're trying to work on something.
One of my brothers is a long hauler. He's still sick. I mean, he's functioning, but he still has about 7 symptoms that he just can't get rid of.
And he got COVID very early on, right?
Before it even came out public, yeah. And as soon as it came out public, he went to go get tests, and they said, nope, you're negative. And he's like, but I have every symptom. So months later go by as he's out working and playing hockey with people and tests again, and nope, negative. And then when his wife said, one of the kids had a baby, you better get tested again. Somebody came to the house and tested him. And then it turns out COVID, but, he was spreading the wealth.
Yeah.
So, that was scary when he got that. So when it, finally, I mean, he knew in his heart he had it. It's just because he didn't have a positive test, nobody would treat him. So anyway.
I think too, we know people that are like, we almost are 100% sure they had COVID. They just never could get a test saying that it was positive. But there was nothing else. Like, they didn't have the flu or anything like that. It's like, we know that you have COVID. You have every symptom of it.
Mm-hmm.
But never could get a test that said that they were positive.
Yeah. So, anyway. But there was something that you were recently telling me about a tweet. Not that I might be on Twitter. I don't know. I don't get into that stuff. A tweet. It's something with the NHL.
Yeah, and I don't know if you'll have an answer to any of this stuff, but I thought it was interesting. So, I'm obviously a huge NHL fan. The biggest podcast in the NHL is Spittin' Chiclets. So their guest, maybe it's like 2 weeks ago, was this guy named Robin Lehner, who was the starting goalie for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Mm-hmm.
He had, some addiction problems years ago and, has dealt with it. And he went on the show and kind of talked about it. And he talked about the way that the NHL treats players. The reason that he brought that up is because there's a situation in the NHL right now where one of the young superstars, Jack Eichel, who's from Massachusetts, is on the Buffalo Sabres. He needs to have neck surgery. The team wants him to get one kind of surgery that would kind of require him to continue to get neck surgeries throughout his life. He wants to get another kind of surgery where he won't have to deal with that. So it's a huge problem, and a lot of players are upset about it. So the way Robin Lehner has dealt with it since that episode came out is kind of given the NHL an ultimatum. And as he was going to release a story that they wouldn't like every day until they spoke to him and addressing these problems in the NHL, Jack Eichel being one of them.
Yeah.
So his first tweet is something along the lines of, is it normal for non-medical staff of a hockey team to be handing out Ambien and benzodiazepines to their players after every game? Just want to know. And by the way, it doesn't happen here in Vegas, but it has happened on other teams that I've been on.
So they're just, after a game, they're handing them out? Like candy?
I don't know. So it's just, there's just the one tweet, and then he went silent, which makes me think the NHL kind of got to him and said, let's talk about this privately.
So you can't read comments that people might have made?
no, I didn't, like, I don't think I saw any NHL player say yes, like, I was given. The only thing that came from that is another young star in the NHL. His name's Nolan Patrick. He just got traded. He had, like, a series of concussions, and he just has never kind of lived up to his potential. Now, there's been the rumor that the Philadelphia Flyers, who he used to play for, were giving him benzodiazepines without a doctor. They were just handing them out to him. So, I mean, that's just been a rumor.
Oh, okay.
Nolan Patrick hasn't come out and said, yes, I was given, mm-hmm. you know, a benzodiazepine from some sort of, like, medical trainer in the room or something like that.
Right.
But what do you think, like, what kind of benzodiazepine do you think they would be giving players?
Well, kind of like when you were Dana Farber with cancer. I mean, all you hear is, well, I can give you Ativan for that. You're nauseous? I'll give you Ativan. You have a headache? I'll give you Ativan. I mean, like even Dad said, that's all he's ever heard in there. Ativan. But then again, Xanax, the number one.
He mentions Ambien, too. So I mean,
and Ambien for sleep.
I can understand that why they would be handing out Ambien, because these guys are on planes every night. They're flying all over the country. So it's like they may hand it out like candy, but
they got to come up with something a little bit more natural to help them, because what's going to happen to them down the road, you know? Yeah. I mean,
but who knows if this ends up turning into like a bigger problem where there is an Ambien benzodiazepine problem in the NHL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty sad, because these are young, healthy guys, and then they might start developing something and say, well, now you've developed anxiety when it's from taking the drug. I mean, I developed anxiety from taking the drug. I mean, if I thought I had anxiety when I was younger, that's a joke compared to the anxiety when I took Ativan, right. You know. So anyway, all right, so we got our show done on that, and we'll put out our little... you know, a little extra episode.
Yeah.
You know,
so depending on when you're listening to this, it may be out. But I mean, my plan would be this episode gets released tomorrow morning, and then the bonus episode the day after. So,
yeah, if we can get this out before I leave for Florida, great. And the other one, you can send it to me, and I'll do it once I get down there. And then I hope to work on the one when I come back. But we've had one that I've been, a couple of people that we had scheduled. But because, you know, I had to leave so quick, and when Dad's surgery got set, so we had to, like, get there and get back, we'll have a couple people ready to do it when we get home, hopefully, after the surgery, if things go well. And I don't have to be babying him. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening. I love getting comments. I hope you continue to subscribe to the YouTube channel. I think that will push us up. Again, everybody knows I'm not great technologically and on the podcast. And I know on YouTube you can subscribe and then put it on silent if you don't always want to find out when a new episode comes out. So spread the word. Let's get it out there. And I think we are starting to get more medical professionals interested in hearing these stories of what really happens when you come off these drugs. And that's all part of, I'll be discussing something when I do the one to medical prescribers. So again, everybody, thank you. I really, really appreciate the interest that you have in us doing these. And we're just going to keep trying to do them. Thank you.